He's worn a lot of hats, ladies and gentlemen. A doctor, a plastic surgeon. This is a man who has been a state representative, a small business owner in Bismarck, and he wants to be the next United States congressman from the great state of North Dakota. And that is Dr. Rick Becker. Dr. Becker, good to have you back on News and Views.
Hey, Joel. Good to be back on.
So, tell me how the race is going. Here's my indicator. Here's my litmus test. Are you ready? How much money have you raised?
Well, we've got first quarter reporting is going to come out. I don't have a total, but it's a pretty darn good number. It's certainly in excess. It's north of $500,000.
Really?
Yeah.
You've raised over $500,000?
Well over half if we're including what I put in.
Okay. That one jumped out at me. I'm not going to kid you, Rick. I didn't see that number was going to be as big as what it is when I heard. So that one got my attention. Yeah.
And it's understood, when people put in, candidates put in what they can, right? And
ask Doug Burgum. Yes.
Well, yeah. But when you consider that these federal races have a maximum individual contribution of $3,300. It's not like we're counting big PAC money, of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's solid. The number that we're getting in is fantastic.
Well, the Republican primary and the separation here, obviously on the Republican side of the ticket, many believe that the governor's race is decided that day, whenever that Republican primary is. And I'm not sure that in this case, that's going to be true. I think that the Democrats are putting up a very viable candidate in Trigvi Hammer. But that being said, you still have to win one race to even be able to run the other. How are you going to beat Julie Fedorchuk? Because Tom Campbell dropped out. Now it's a one-on-one.
Yeah. Well, and Alex Balas is another candidate. And yes, he's certainly lesser well-known by far. I don't know what his resources are, but by and large, I think people agree with you that this is going to be mostly a one-on-one campaign. And so what we are doing is tapping into what I've represented for the last 12 years, which is a very strong, principled, conservative approach to how we govern, whether it's at the state or federal level. And I put that in contrast to Julie Fedorchuk, who is just kind of establishment. I mean, she was appointed to her public service commission, and then that's the position she's been in ever since. She's not had to run a race against another Republican. I don't know that she has. She really doesn't have any of the bona fides when it comes to conservative principles. And of course, in a Republican primary, that's what you want to have. So we're going to put up my history. We are going to hopefully be able to debate with her. And we can let people see what the candidates are about. But between good fundraising, great endorsements, Vivek Ramaswamy just came out for me today. Senator Rand Paul came out for me last week. We've got a number of House Freedom Caucus members. So people have a choice, right? They can have the status quo, or they can have what will actually fix the country, turn the country around. And that's somebody who's highly principled. The people I have endorsing me share those principles.
So you say conservative principles. Where does Fedorchuk lack in conservative principles?
Well, we don't know what her principles are. She's untested. We do know.
Wait a second here. I'm going to push back on that. She's been a member of the Public Service Commission forever. I mean, she's had to make decisions on that Public Service Commission that to me would define you as whether or not you're a conservative or not. And so obviously you've done your homework. I mean, has she cast votes on that Public Service Commission that would lend you to believe that she's a conservative?
Well, no, actually quite the opposite, Joel. And we're preparing a document to show that, but so I'm not going to discuss the details right now, but you're exactly right. She has a very limited purview in her role as Public Service Commissioner, but even in that limited role, in my opinion, we'll be able to show it, she has not been a conservative. And that's in one limited area. She's untested in all these other areas, like, you know, Second Amendment and First Amendment and so forth.
Okay, so I get the same messages that you get. I mean, I get the same, whether they're rumors, whether they're whatever. And so let's just throw one out there, for example, and see if this is something that the Becker campaign found to be true. You know, Tom Campbell dropped out of this race because he said he had been informed it was going to get nasty. It was going to get dirty. Okay. So let me just throw this out. There is talk that Fedorchuk knew in advance where the carbon was to be injected into the soil and went forth and made sure that her family had an interest in that land. Because as a public service commissioner, she might have the opportunity to have that information ahead of time. I don't know if it's true or not. What I'm asking is, does the Becker campaign, have you researched that? Do you know that? Do you believe it to be true?
We are researching it. We are actively looking into that because it's quite concerning. I believe it is highly likely. What I do know is that she has been advocating for the pipeline in many ways in her formal capacity, which is inappropriate, unethical. We know that she has, when it comes to the siting meetings for Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline, she has recused herself because of the wanting to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest. Well, that's ridiculous. It's not just an appearance. It's just outright slap you in the face conflict of interest. The problem is that she still has interjected herself into this whole pipeline in a number of other ways. So she's using her position to ensure the pipeline goes through, which is then comes back to her in the form of, we'll call it kickbacks, in the form of being made wealthy. Jason Borer, after Julie's testimony that this pipeline should go through, testimony at a legislative hearing, she testified that this pipeline is a good thing and it needs to go through. Jason Borer, president of the Lignite Council, got up and said, hey, listen, this is, you know, we need to have the free market, because he was trying to appeal to conservatives. We need to have the free market, and people who own the pore space need to be able to turn their property into wealth. People in this room. And of course, he's referring to Julie. I mean, it blows your mind. It's so in your face.
So let me throw this at you. You've always been for private industry. The pipeline's private industry. You've always been for people to make their own mind up. The people that are signing these easements are signing them. There hasn't been eminent domain used on these people's properties yet. The ethanol plants, which farmers support and are basically breaking down into private ownership, thus buying spots in the pipeline to remove their carbon. What I just said was private, private, and private. What's the problem? Why would you be against this pipeline?
Well, a couple of things, but I'll just, the one that stands out most is that this will not go through without the use of eminent domain. That's understood. So you got all these people that are talking out of one side of their mouth, whether it's Julie, whether it's the governor, saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, we don't want eminent domain used, except they know the pipeline will not go through without the use of eminent domain. It's understood. And I'm opposed to eminent domain being used because this is not an oil pipeline. This is not a highway. This is not an electrical transmission line. This is a scam. It's these 45Q tax credits, which is our taxpayer money, are going to enrich private companies with this whole idea that we're going to take carbon produced from ethanol plants, pipe it and interject it underground, and somehow that's going to help the environment. And so here's my concern, Joel, because we got to break this down into real simple terms. This is a scam because, number one, we understand it's not actually going to curb the climate concerns that people have. Number two, it's based solely on taxpayer subsidy credit. If those go away, the whole thing falls apart. No major player is going to be interested any longer. And then to go on from that, the eminent domain being used for private economic enhancement is in our Constitution, in the North Dakota Constitution, as being prohibited. So there are so many levels where this is just flat out wrong.
So, okay, the pipeline, there's a lot of people that agree with you. That's even a bigger conversation for another day. I just brought up the Julie Fedorchuk link to that, because people are flooding me with that, Representative Becker. I'm getting all of these messages saying that Fedorchuk found a way to profit as a family on that. And I will directly ask her that question when we get her on. But hang with me. You have more time to give, do you not?
You bet.
Representative Rick Becker is our guest. We're talking about the United States congressional race here in North Dakota. He's running against Julie Fedorchuk. Representative Becker, I wanted to ask you this. Strategic, you know, just looking at the whole strategy, Tom Campbell drops out of this race, and I'm sorry if I keep forgetting one candidate, but quite frankly, I don't know that he's hit the radar and is going to take a lot of my airtime. It's you against Julie Fedorchuk. The Republican Party doesn't want you on the stage at the convention. Have you considered, or would you consider then, running as an independent if... I mean, you're sitting here looking at a Republican establishment that doesn't want you at your convention, that isn't going to allow you to be the Republican nominee. I mean, why not run as an independent with as split as what the vote's going to be and have a chance of winning that way?
Well, no, I mean, I'm perfectly at home with the Republican Party based on what the platform is. I believe in the platform, which, you know, are the principles of the party. Yes, the establishment, or at least most of the establishment that's been around for the last many years, has not been so friendly toward those same principles. And so where we're at now is, yes, I can't, because of what was passed in 2021, I can't seek the endorsement at the convention next weekend, right? Now, that's not the end of the world by any means, as you know. Doug Burgum didn't get the endorsement, and Kevin Cramer didn't get the endorsement. So I'm going to be on the ballot in June, on June 11th, as a Republican, right alongside, I presume, Julie Fedorchuk. And so what you mentioned, I'm not going to get the nomination. Well, the nomination comes from the primary vote, the primary election. So I plan to get the nomination from the Republican Party when I win the primary election.
Well, okay, let me use the word endorsement then. I mean, that you can use any word you want, except you can't win at the Republican convention, which to me isn't exactly a big tent. Let me ask you this. Had they allowed you to get the endorsement and not changed the rules to make sure you couldn't, would you have ran in the Republican convention?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, there.
I would have preferred to.
Yeah, that's my point. You say you support the Republican platform. Here's one of the issues that the policy committee has come out with. They're talking about the life of every human begins at fertilization. They go on in this resolution to say that anyone that that doesn't support that is committing murder. An accessory to murder if you're the individual that helps them, meaning the doctor that can get rid of those fertilized eggs. Do you support this? Do you support the fact that in vitro fertilization and the disposal of eggs is in any way, shape, or form murder?
Well, I think that so when we look at the resolutions, I read all 15 of them briefly when they first got passed out. You've got the whereas, and then you have the therefore be it resolved. The resolved part is the word is the phrasing that we're looking at. Okay, what's the resolution? Now, the whereas, they use fertilization rather than conception. I'm much more comfortable with conception. I think that if we go and say, for instance, the in vitro thing becomes murder, I'm not comfortable with that. I think that the in vitro technology needs to be highly regulated. I don't think that people respect what we have at hand with in vitro technology. This needs to be done in a much better
manner. So I understand you're for in vitro. Okay, let me ask you this. They talk about vaccinations. Basically, what they do is they make it legal to where someone that's going to school, for example, doesn't have to take a vaccination for mumps and measles and polio. Now, you are a physician. Oh, Abby's telling me I only have. Thank you. He's going to have more time. Folks, you notice he answers? Do you notice he answers? Everybody's like, how come you and Rick get along so well, as politically different as what you are? He answers. All right. Stick around. More coming your way. Former state representative and physician Rick Becker joins us. He's running for North Dakota's lone seat in the United States Congress in the primary against who I believe is going to be Julie Fedorchuk, and that one's a pretty easy one to pick. But we're talking about, and he mentioned the fact that he supports Republican principles, the Republican platform, and these are resolutions that are going in front of the Republican Party. And basically this one resolution, which you read, takes away or gives the right for parents to ignore giving their children measles, mumps, polio vaccinations, which they're required to now. Your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, yeah, what this resolution does, well, first off, the platform and the resolution are different. As you know, the platform are like the really solid, like individual freedom, you know, liberty and so forth, right? Personal responsibility. Then you have the resolutions that change every 2 years based on what's happening and where focus needs to be directed. Now, the resolution you're referring to, I think, is perfectly fine. It says it refers to people being in charge of their own health decisions. And what we saw with COVID, where government had extreme overreach, was very coercive, was very manipulative. We don't want to see that happen again.
But it's government that tells you you have to get the polio vaccine so you don't spread polio, right?
Correct.
Okay. In this resolution, it says the North Dakota Republican Party affirms inherent right of individuals to make medical and health care decisions on behalf of themselves and their children without interference or intimidation from any branch of government, governmental agency, or official. That says you do not have to get the polio vaccine. Does it not? If you choose.
If you choose, correct.
Right. You are a physician. You know what can happen if people don't get the polio vaccine. How can you support that?
Well, it's one of these things where we've got, the pendulum has swung so far with vaccines for everything under the sun, and many of them questionable. And you've got the VAERS database that shows that vaccines are not without their own issues.
Well, there's no polio, Rick. I mean, there's no polio.
Well, I
mean,
I know.
No, I am not. This is scary stuff. As a grandfather, this is incredibly scary stuff. If that far right fringe that this is, if they start allowing people to not get the measles, mumps, polio vaccine, we're going to have measles, mumps, and polio back in society. That's what this is. And if you think some of these people won't take advantage of that, if in fact this became law of the land, which you would vote on as a member of Congress, then it's scary as hell to me.
Well, you know, I remember when we used to have measles parties so that the kids would get measles at one time so it was convenient?
No.
You don't?
No. Okay. No. Well, I'll tell you what Ray and Doreen Heitkamp would have done if I'd have went to that. You know, I would have had a size 11 up my butt. That's what would have happened.
Well, no, actually, no, I'm talking chicken pox, I guess. That
oh,
was it.
That's well, that's
what
a whole different a critter, yeah. That's a whole
right.
different
well,
deal.
But we're still talking the varicella virus, you know, that's for chickenpox. So there's a virus for everything under the sun. And I think that if you leave health decisions in the hands of individuals for themselves and their children, that's the best possible.
Well, that's where we'll separate there. Let me ask you this. When it comes to Julie Fedorchuk, and it comes to the Republican Party as a whole, you know, one of the things that I'm sure you're going to talk about is pure conservative principles. I've asked you this before on air, but now you would be in a position where you would vote on this. Do you believe farmers should be able to get federal crop insurance?
Yes, Joel. Yes.
Okay. Now, but that is not exactly limited government. Agreed?
Agreed.
And that is a subsidy. Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But so let's step back from this for a second. There are a lot of programs that we have that are very deeply entrenched, that the way people conduct themselves are based on how things have been for a long, long time. There are a lot of things that I would like to see done differently, but people will misconstrue that as to think that I want to rip the carpet right out from under someone. What I'd like to do, I mean, yes, in an ideal world, the federal government wouldn't be involved with any of these types of programs, with flood insurance, with, I mean, Right, but you and I have had philosophical discussion about the appropriateness of federal government intervention. That's different than real life on the ground battling for what's best for North Dakotans. We have a federal crop insurance system in place. Can it be improved? Absolutely. There's not a federal program in existence that can't be improved. And when I say improved, I don't mean weakening or taking away the safety net from farmers. What I'm talking about is making it better so there's less waste and less abuse. If there's less waste and abuse, what that does is it helps the farmer because it makes the policies cheaper, and it helps the taxpayers because they're paying out fewer subsidies.
It's also a subsidy.
So what we can do is improve it to take it in the direction I want, and it actually makes it better for farmers, especially early beginning farmers.
It's also a subsidy, but I understand. Let me ask you this. When I researched what happened with Wayne Stanjum and Jason Doctor and Ray Holmberg, which, by the way, if you go to our website, you can listen to Capital Punishment, which that's a huge part of. But when I researched this, you brought forth a concern about people buying properties like Jason Doctor did and government not knowing who is profiting from it. I applaud you for that. Okay. It didn't pass. The Republicans wouldn't allow it to pass. We didn't find out people like Jason Doctor would go buy this property even after he knew it was going to be funded. And so you weren't able to fix the Republican Party in that. Do you believe that you're running for a party that is honest?
Well, I use the term uniparty for a reason, Joel. I think both parties, if you look at parties are made up of individuals, but the establishment of both parties, by and large, has been corrupt. They seem to work hand in hand, which is why nothing ever gets done. There's a lot of hand wringing when the other side is in power, and then suddenly when the first side gets in power, still nothing gets done. So yes, I'm running against the uniparty, and that means the establishment hacks in the Republican side as well as in the Democrat side.
Do you believe Jason Doctor committed a crime? Do you believe he was unethical?
Well, I absolutely don't know if he committed a crime, Joel. I do think it was unethical, yes. Okay. And I'm glad you brought it up, because what I did is I stand up for the people of North Dakota, and I did it against my own party. I do it against the Democrats. I do it no matter who's in charge. And that is shameful that the bill I proposed, the bill I proposed passed, Joel. It was for a study, because I introduced it a little bit too late for it to be an actual law. The problem is that I was on the committee that did the study, and I brought forth a bill there so that for the next session it would pass and none of this would be allowed and there would be full transparency. The committee voted it down. That's what's shameful.
When you say the committee voted it down, who on the committee voted it down?
Mainly the Bismarck Mafia.
Mainly the Republicans. That's who voted it down. But okay.
Yes.
That which I applauded you for, the fact that you took on your own party. That's how we started that. A couple of messages coming in from the people that would either vote for you or vote for Fedorchuk or vote for Trigvi Hammer. But they're saying this. Does the freedom to make medical decisions, like he said, well, then why not the freedom to be able to deal with birth control, to have an abortion? Why not leave that up to the individual? Your thoughts on that?
Well, here's where we have the we're not on the same page here. If it were a clump of cells, right, then I would be in full agreement. I want a woman to be able to do with her body whatever she chooses, whatever health care decisions she makes. But when we have another human being, then that changes. We can't harm, if there was a way for a woman to rid herself of a baby without the baby being harmed, okay, that would be fine. But in this case, we have another individual, another human being. And because we can't get on the same page of whether it's a clump of cells no different than a little tumor, or if it's a baby, a preborn baby, that's why the two sides can't come together. Because certainly the left is not in favor of killing babies, I wouldn't think. I don't think you're in favor of killing babies. The difference is that I see the preborn as a baby and the left sees the preborn as a clump of cells.
So couldn't you make the same argument that if you're responsible for making sure that that life as you see it stays there, that has an opportunity at life, then couldn't you make that same argument that that young child, that 3, 4, 5-year-old child, that clump of cells has an opportunity to live by getting vaccinated for mumps or measles, or has the ability to live the type of life they could by being vaccinated for polio?
Right. Well, I think that the parents who got their kids vaccinated against COVID had the right to do that. I think it was a poor decision based on poor information. And I think if anything, it did not help child's health, and we'll see long term if it harmed children's health. There's good information, not good. There's more and more information coming out about that. But they had the right to do what they thought was best for their children. And I wouldn't have made it, I wouldn't have criminalized them for giving their kid the COVID vaccine.
So do you think Donald Trump said that we should use bleach as a means for vaccination when it comes to COVID? Do you believe that he made any type of medical decision? Do you believe that he should have been supported in that? Because that's something that the President of the United States put forth, and you're talking about science.
Well, okay. So this is kind of funny. You have to bring me that quote, because I think that quote has been distorted and taken out of context so badly. I can't comment on it, and you know I'm not afraid to comment on stuff, but I think that that is so inaccurate, I can't even begin to comment on it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. When it comes to the conference, I still call it a caucus, Representative Becker, but when it comes to the conference that you're looking to join on the Republican side, do you think they're good at what they do when it comes to governing?
Let me clarify. Do you mean the Republican?
I mean the Republican conference, which controls the House. Do you think they're good at governing?
No, I don't think either conference is good at governing.
Okay.
And that's why we need to get people in that are less concerned about being part of an establishment, about climbing the ranks, and more concerned about specific principles that they clearly enunciate during campaign.
Okay, so when we come back, I give you my word, the last couple minutes will be all yours. In terms of, call it an ad, call it whatever you want. Call it telling people why they should vote for you in the primary. He's running for Congress. He wants that Republican spot on the fall ticket. He's running against Julie Fedorchuk in the primary. Rick Becker, state representative, former state representative. Do you think that Donald Trump is a man of principle? Do you think that this is a man that shows this country the type of leadership that we should have in the area of just plain principle?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joel. I was on mute.
That's okay.
Yeah, so President Trump is certainly a complex character, and I think a lot of the concern about principle comes into play when he is doing his stuff on social media. I think what he brings to the table is something that's very important, and if we talk about principle, we're talking about the principle of America First. And putting us back into a more sovereign nation status where we're fighting against the globalists. I really, really appreciate that about him. I also believe very much in the principle of being able to withstand the far leftist narrative that of abolishing effectively free speech, where if you can't say a different opinion because you'll be called some type of name like racist and so forth. So although I may have some differences when it comes to things like, say, trade policy and other policies, the fact that he is really at the forefront of those two areas, as well as what he had done with decreasing regulation and decreasing taxes, putting in constitutional judges, I think these things are all fantastic. So,
well,
yes, I think
the one thing that you've pushed for is not sitting there and, you know, building up debt. Donald Trump built up debt more than any other president. But let me ask you this, just a quick one so we have time for you to make your pitch at the end here. Do you believe he should be out hawking and spending or selling Bibles?
I'm going to say that that is probably maybe not the best decision. Okay. That doesn't feel right to me. I'm not aware of it. I wasn't aware of it though.
I've got 50 seconds left. Why should people vote for you?
All right. So Joel, as you know, you and I get along, even though we have dramatic differences in political philosophy. And the reason we do is because I am not afraid to call a spade a spade. I stand for my principles. I fight for those principles, regardless of whichever party is trying to take those principles, those freedoms away. I always stand for the people of North Dakota. When I get to Washington, D.C., I'm going to take those principles with me. I'm going to be steadfast. I will never back down. We will get a secure border. We will get control of our spending. And I'm going to join those few that are there that are equally principled. And so that's why I ask people to vote for me. I encourage people to go to rickbecker2024.com.
There we go.